dried cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host, if you so choose. Going to the phones now for our next guest. He's running for the Republican nomination in the 2nd Congressional District. Dick Brubaker, show regular here on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
Well, I appreciate the positive thinking. I am doing great. It is a cold but nice day in Montgomery County, and just out hitting the campaign trail trying to convince people that I would do a good job as their congressman.
Yeah, well, you seem to be doing okay. I mean, we haven't seen much polling lately. We did see a poll early on about a month or so ago. Do you think the race has changed that much since then?
Well, you know, it's when a pollster tells you, I have a group that's done a lot of polls for me, and they've always been willing to take my money and been very confident in the results of their polls. But when one of those guys tells you that because of the so much confusion among Republicans about what district they're in, that he wouldn't place a whole lot of reliance on any poll numbers, and he wanted me to know that before I paid him, you know there's a lot of confusion out there. My sense is that we're doing well. We've had a great reaction to the TV ad that we put up. You know, it's been online for a couple of weeks now, but we went up on TV. We've got billboards up, getting a lot of comments on it, a lot of chatter on Facebook. And I think we're reaching people. And I think the message is, you know, let's face it, with Biden and his group doing everything they can think of to destroy the America that most of us love and care about, I think they're ready for some Republicans who will not only push back, but try to solve some problems.
Well, and that's where the enthusiasm is going to have to be. But in the meantime, I mean, I feel like there's sort of, at least at AL2 overall, on the Republican side, kind of just an anti-Washington vibe. It's maybe not populist or anything, but that the status quo is not acceptable.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And it's anti-establishment. And I think it's also, I'm trying to think of the right word, anti-corporatist, maybe. What people want is someone to go to Washington and represent them, not anybody else, and represent their values. I mean, let's face it, it's time for conservatives and Christians and regular people to quit apologizing for the fact that we think, as far as gender goes, that our kids are just fine the way God made them. And that it's that, yes, we do. We are pro-life. We do believe that wages ought to be connected to work, and that we're tired of people that don't live where we live and do what we do, trying to tell us how to raise our kids and run our businesses. And it's just time for a little pushback.
Here's a question for you, and I don't know if you've given this any thought at all, but I've sort of become a little obsessed with it. If the presidential primary is settled by March 5th, and if Nikki Haley drops out and it's now just a one-man race, what do you think that does to turnout in your primary? Do you think that changes things? Does it change the electorate? And I just kind of wonder this in terms of across the board around the state, but particularly in these two congressional districts, if Trump's Trump's on the ballot, obviously, but if there's no reason to vote for him, if it's a formality, then does that change your race at all?
Well, for a Republican in a district like District 2, turnout is everything. And I mean, let's face it, it's a one-man race now. But if Haley has dropped out before the 5th of March, and if that negatively affects Republican turnout, you know, the Democrats are going to, especially if conservatives can't get their people out to vote in competitive districts, you know, that's going to hurt. It's just going to add one more element of unpredictability on March the 5th. And I'm going to tell you something else. On the general election in November, you know, the legislature's got a gaming bill that's before them now. And the way the bill's written right now, they're having the gaming referendum on the day of the general election. And that is a great way to increase Democrat voter enthusiasm and get more Democrats to the polls. I'm hoping the Republicans in the legislature will consider that and do the gaming referendum on a special election or just find some other day to do it.
Well, back to the primary, though, Senator, and we can talk the gambling bill and what that means of being on that November ballot. But I mean, in a Republican primary, you don't have to worry about the other side. They all vote in their own primary. In your primary, does a low turnout help you?
I think it just makes it that much more unpredictable. I guess it depends on, like any other race, who gets their people out to vote. And in a primary where we're all running, you know, let's, for the three at the top of the last poll, that would be Dick Brubaker, Greg Allbritton, and Caroline Dobson. None of us have ever run in this district before, obviously. It's a new district. You know, Senator Allbritton lives in Escambia County. Ms. Dobson has only recently moved back to Alabama, and I, except for Montgomery, Crenshaw, and Pike, I've never represented, you know, most of this district either. And so let's put it this way. I think this race is a lot better for everybody if there's a contested, if Trump's running against somebody at the top of the ballot. I mean, I don't know how to even handicap this race if instead of a 30% turnout, we have a 12% turnout, which if Trump has got it sewn up by March the 5th, I think that it will depress turnout. And because in most of these counties, there's not a real hot local race that's going to be decided in a primary. I mean, most of the competitive races in for county commissions and that sort of office are going to be, people are going to have to turn out until the general election in November. So, yes, I have no idea. I'm concerned about it.
Well, and I guess the other thing would be, and this would be maybe not necessarily indicative of what will happen in November, but comparing Republican turnout to Democrat turnout in AL2, I mean, are you even keeping up with what's going on the Democrat side in that primary?
With 11 candidates? No, I'm really not, to be honest with you. I don't care who they look, all Democrats, they have to sign on to this party pledge. We all know all the Democrats are going to be for bigger government, more intrusion, more spending, more inflation, more forcing green energy down everybody's throats. Whoever the Democrat candidate is, it's going to be the same, you know, the same routine, just a different face.
Well, that's I guess it's kind of interesting. This just tells you just like how crazy the district is. Like, you have a lot of contenders who aren't from anywhere in the second congressional district. And I know you and I have talked about this before, there's no real community of interest, right? So that's why you could be an outsider, come in and have some relative success in a district without an identity.
Well, what concerns me is, the reason I think it matters if you've lived in the district, are you trying to do something for the district, or are you trying to get the district to do something for you? I mean, if people that have just moved here or people who are from Huntsville who have suddenly decided to run in District 2. I mean, let's face it. They're looking for what District can do. District 2 can do for them, not what they can do for District 2. And I don't think that's good. It's not good for the people they'll be representing.
Well, that's what, you know, and you think about Mobile, and on Monday, if Anthony Daniels were to become our next congressman, he's representing the neighborhoods north of downtown Huntsville. And on Tuesday, he's representing Midtown Mobile. I mean, that's there's something not right about that.
Well, what it means is that, as a practical matter, it means he's still going to all of his contacts, all of his instincts, all the people whose numbers he has in his cell phone are still people in downtown Huntsville. They don't suddenly change out to be people in Mobile. And, you know, especially, you know, let's face it, if you and your wife and you're raising your kids in another community and that's where you built your life, I mean, that's where your heart is. I don't think that's saying anything bad about anybody. It's just the truth. And I think it is important to whoever we elect that it be somebody who has chosen to have their professional lives and their family lives in District 2, not somewhere else.
Joined
and
by,
it doesn't matter which party it is.
We're joined by former State Senator Dick Brubaker, running for the 2nd Congressional District Republican nomination. I feel like it's kind of the home stretch. Do you anticipate the campaign getting negative? And because I don't see that in your race. It looks like it's about to go that way here in the 1st Congressional District. But in the 2nd, it's hard. People, it's like you said, they don't even know if they are in the 2nd District or not.
Well, that's one of the things that all the polling shows, that a whole bunch of Republicans aren't sure what district they're in. When I went to the Mobile County Republican event a little over a week ago, a lot of people in that room didn't know whether they were in the 1st or the 2nd district. I don't think the District 2 race is going to go negative. I certainly don't have any plans to. I mean, what's the point? What we've got to get away from is Republicans spending more energy attacking each other than trying to defeat this Joe Biden woke socialist agenda. I mean, that's what's important. You want to save the country? We have to defeat this socialist Democrat leadership. I mean, that's what matters. And, you know, spending most of your time attacking Republicans is just a non-starter. It doesn't help.
Well, let's talk about the gambling bill. And you mentioned that and how that could adversely impact turnout for Republicans. What they would tell me whenever I bring this up to some of these lawmakers who are really keen on putting it on the November ballot is that, you're going to also have Republicans who are going to come out to vote against gambling. So it could be a wash. I don't think that really works that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. For voter enthusiasm, gaming is one of those things that Democrats are a lot more enthusiastic about having it than Republicans are about not having it. And I mean, anyone who doesn't think that that's one reason the Democrats in the legislature pushed to have it on the general election day is that they know it helps them. I mean, you know, talk to anybody who's in the legislature now, and that's one of the things the Democratic caucus wants. They want the referendum on the day of the general election because they think it helps them.
And the pro gamers think that you've got to do it on a general election ballot because we learned from 99 when we tried lottery last time, low turnout, it's just a sitting duck. Some outside interest could come in, spend a bunch of money, beat gambling or beat lottery once again in Alabama. And you don't want to be vulnerable to that. They think you need a big, big election to get this done. I mean, is there merit to that?
Yeah, there's merit to it. But at the same time, every political writer is saying that one or two congressional seats are going to decide who controls Congress this time. Is it worth handing control of Congress over to Democrats over a gaming bill?
I say no,
but you're right. There is merit to the argument that it's the vote will be less susceptible on a gaming bill to outside influences if you do it in a general. That is true.
Well, that's certainly one to watch. Beyond that, how do you is it still border on the campaign trail? Because that's what it seems to be in the first.
It is.
Economy is up there as well, but border and economy.
Well, the border is the whole thing in a nutshell. I mean, the lack of respect for law that the Democrats seem to have is something that anybody who has a business or a family that they're trying to raise is concerned about. I mean, the last month we had figures for 400,000 illegal entries. I mean, that's a city the size of Pittsburgh. And that's every month coming across. And you just can't, it's unsustainable. Look what's happened, just happened in New York. They're throwing the children of citizens, American children, out of schools so they can use them to house illegal immigrants. I mean, that's wrong. And people that break our laws should pay a penalty for that, not be rewarded with free housing, free medical care, free education. I mean, it's just they are trying to, the Democrats have always objected to American exceptionalism. Well, the way they want to get rid of American exceptionalism is turn us into a third world country. And the way they're going to do that is by bringing 400,000 illegals into the country every month. And that, it's not a racial thing. It's just, they're trying to collapse the economy. And they'll succeed. If this goes on another year or two, this country will be unrecognizable.
Former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Senator, if folks want to find out more about your campaign, how can they do so?
Well, you can call me on my cell phone at 334-399-5493, or you can go to brubakerforcongress.com.
All right. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Right, no problem. Back. All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.